Well, I hope again that as you arrived here today and we're in the Advent season, that your hearts are ready and you've been preparing just to have the joy and the hope that we know that comes in Christ. And we've been going through a series called Advent because this time of year you can cover many different things. And I know it's easy sometimes to come to this season, because I know as a pastor it's you're looking at your message and trying to engage people in a different way, but you also want to preach the same themes because they're so true and to remind us as well. But we also don't want to take it for granted and feel like, oh, I've heard this before, or we're talking about the shepherds, or we're talking about whatever character in Scripture at this time. Let's keep engaging. Let's keep being open as the Holy Spirit leads us, because I think it's really, really important to do that. Because as I've mentioned before, that sometimes we need to look at our hearts and to make sure that we are engaging. And if we are feeling dry or feeling the crevices of our heart are just empty and we're not engaging with the Lord, then perhaps we need to reflect on that and take a look at that as well. So the idea of preparing for the Lord is this word picture you can hear, and you can see that as well. And it's something that takes place in our heart as well as we prepare for the arrival of Jesus. And we obviously are reflecting on his birth, and one day he will return. And as we think about that, we need to be preparing our hearts as well. And it's important to do that. And as we think about that, there's a quote from the theologian. He says this: building a road is very much like a preparation God must do in our hearts. They're both expensive, they both must deal with many different problems and environments, and they both take an expert engineer. So when you think about that, and there's a few preparation times for us as Christ followers, we look at two seasons. Advent is one of them, and Lent or Easter is the other one as well. And we can prepare our hearts for both of those seasons. And we do that now as well. As we prepare and we think about the birth of Christ and also the risen Christ, it's just a really good way to be thinking about his incarnation and the resurrection. And that's what we do to prepare our hearts. And we're going to talk about a gentleman today from the Scripture that prepared the way for the Lord. And you might be asking, how does this fit into the Christmas story? And we'll get there as we talk about this morning. So John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, as he was called as well, he preached the gospel of repentance and forgiveness. And he called all people to turn from their sins and to receive the forgiveness that comes in Jesus. And the primary intent for John was not to draw attention to himself whatsoever. His whole heart was to be the forerunner for Jesus. And that's what he did. And we're going to talk about him a little bit this morning as we think about how we prepared the way for Christ. And it's an amazing thing when you consider, because John the Baptist played a major role in Christ's ministry. He was the first person, really, to really get caught up in the wonder of the season, you know, to prepare the way. And John was the cousin of Christ, and he was born about the same time. And we can learn a lot about Christmas through John the Baptist. And he's an interesting man. And perhaps you know about John the Baptist, perhaps you don't. And you'll learn a few things about him today. Our title of our sermon, I believe, was called Locusts and Honey, because that was his diet. That's what he ate, and we'll talk about that in a few moments here. So I'm just going to read some scripture for us this morning. John 1, verses 6 to 8, and I'll read some other scripture after that from Matthew 11, verses 7 to 11. And the verses, some of the verses should be on the screen. So John 1, verses 6 to 8. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now, as we think about John the Baptist, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we consider him a prophet? You know, what did Jesus think about John the Baptist? And here's what Jesus says about him in Matthew 11. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there is not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Amazing words from Jesus. "And when John was still an infant, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Spirit and declared to him this." We read this in Luke 1. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. And you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." We can also see in the Old Testament about John and him coming. And we read this in Isaiah 40. Verses 3 to 5, and it says this: "A voice of the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, making straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley should be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And also, we see in Malachi 3:1, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." So we can see in Scripture that John the Baptist was prophesied about, that he was the forerunner to prepare the way for the Lord. I hope that encourages you to see in Scripture that John had a call in his life. And he was called to prepare the way for the Lord. What a powerful thing to be doing in your life. What a ministry to have. What a mission to have, to prepare the way for the Lord. Now, John the Baptist himself was a different kind of cat. You know, he wasn't your usual guy. Instead of living in the city or any town, really, where you have access to, you know, food and water and community with other people, he chose to live in the wilderness, in the middle of the desert. But John saw that as a blessing. Now, I'm not sure if we would see that as a blessing, that John living in the desert like that, whether we'd consider that a good thing or not. But his whole job was to point people to Christ. You know, when you think about a Christmas carol or a worship team singing or perhaps a choir and they're pronouncing songs about the Messiah and our hearts get excited and prepare. I'm not sure about you, but I love our Christmas hymns. It just reminds me, and the words are so powerful, of Christ and his birth, and it's pronouncing the Messiah. And that's what John does. He is pronouncing the Messiah. And what's interesting about John the Baptist is, again, he was a bit quirky, wasn't he? You know, living in a desert, eating honey and locusts as part of his diet. He wasn't that guy that kind of looked the part. I'm not sure what that really means, but he didn't wear a suit. You know, he didn't look all together. He was a different kind of guy. And what I love about that is we can learn so much about how God can use people that don't look the part in the world's eyes to further his message. I love that. I can relate far much greater to somebody who's stumbling towards heaven who doesn't have it all together than someone who is pious and righteous, maybe self-righteous and religious and has it all together. I deal with people that are stumbling, just like I am, every day. And there's something about how God has used people to further his gospel by using people that perhaps we would not even consider picking, that perhaps we'd have a different criteria. I'm not sure about you guys either, because this time of year is very busy for many of us. And I want you to think of a time in your life, not just at the season, but a time where you're distracted. You know, perhaps if you're married, I'm married, and maybe your spouse is telling you a story, and you're perhaps listening in physicality, but in your mind you weren't listening at all, and you're totally distracted. I did that the other day. Laura was telling me a story, and she told a story, and I was totally distracted, and I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, right on, mm-hmm, that's great. And then about 30 seconds later, I said, "What did you just say? Can you repeat that again?" Because I was totally not listening. I was guilty of that. And I was distracted by what was going on. And I wasn't on my phone or anything. I was just in a whole different world for some reason. You know how guys are. We go to our nothing box, and we sit there, and we stay there, and we actually feel pretty good about our nothing box, don't we? And yet, when someone's talking to us, we can get distracted very easily. And maybe you have been distracted in your life, whether it's with your spouse or other things that have gone in your life. And there's a word that can capture that, especially this time of year. We can be in a bit of a holidays. You know, we go through the days in this kind of this mindset where we're really not focused on what's going on. It's almost like a trance that we get into. We get into this mode where we try to create the perfect Christmas or the perfect connection. And in the midst of the perfectionism, we actually miss what's going on. You know, I talked about this last week as well, where we should focus on the reason for the season and for a moment pause all the connections with family and friends. Those things are all good. But for a moment, consider why we celebrate this time of year, to not get distracted. And we can be so busy at Christmas, especially. And it's ironic, right? And we miss the glory because of the grind. We're grinding so hard to make things right and to look perfect, but we miss the glory. And that's why I think it's really important for us to slow down and cherish what we have in front of us. And that's why I love John the Baptist, because his only mission was to do what? Prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what he did. And he was able to be in relationship with Jesus. Amazing things. And he wasn't distracted. He wasn't distracted. And we can have chaotic times. We can have times by the fire. We can have a time of engagement and community. But in the midst of all of that, are we missing the awe of the season? Are we missing what the season's really about? When we take away all the noise, are we able to really focus on why the Christmas story matters? Now, I've mentioned before, there's other characters in the Christmas story. We know who they are. You know, Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and there's some farm animals involved as well. But each one of these individuals added something to the story, didn't they? They added value to the story. And we need to consider that too and ask the question about, what do we play in this role? What's our contribution to the story of the gospel and the Christmas story? You know, we think about Jesus and we think about his arrival, you know, over 2,000 years ago. And I hope you understand that those arrivals and what he did are still relevant for us today, those lessons that we understand. And we talk about this idea again of about Advent, which simply means to prepare for the arrival. And that's what we've been talking about. And John the Baptist was one person that allowed to be used by God to prepare the way for Jesus. And there's others as well. And we look at Old Testament people like David and Samuel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Malachi. You know, as the arrival became closer and closer of Christ, John the Baptist was there. Again, he's a front runner, the forerunner for what he had to do. And God used him in a powerful way. Now, as I mentioned before, John was the man who preached out of the wilderness in Judea by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he talks about that. And Isaiah talks about this again, that there's a voice coming out of the wilderness that will share and asking people to prepare the way for their hearts as Jesus comes. You know, again, John was a different cat, like I mentioned before. His clothes were made of the camel hair. He had a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. Pretty good diet. I think it's pretty good. That's what he did. And I bet he stood out in the community. I bet he stood out in a way that people were looking at this guy and going, "What? Who is this guy?" Especially when he talks about confessing our sins and baptizing people in the Jordan River. And he's doing his thing and he's on a mission. And he's calling people to repent from their sins. And they're wondering, what is he talking about? What's really going on? And John the Baptist, again, preparing the way for the Almighty King Jesus. And the Bible considers him a key player in the story of Christmas. And we can see that in Scripture, as I mentioned before. And we need to be able to understand that God can use us as well to prepare the way to bring people to the gospel and to understand that Jesus is the reason again for the season. But let's be clear. John the Baptist stood out, as I've mentioned. He was probably shaggy in the way he looked, and yet God used him mightily. And what's great about John the Baptist, he shows up in all four gospels. Let's recognize that. That should tell us something. That he's a prominent individual, a humble man. And he went to prison because of what he did. And he was killed for what he did. Again, a forerunner for the gospel, for Jesus. And as he looked a bit of a mess, and we're all messy, especially when it comes to following Christ, we're all messy. Every single one of us is messy. We don't have it all together. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel again. John was the opening act for what? The main show. For Jesus. And I love that God used them. And he prepared the people. He, again, preached about repentance. And he talked about how he was not the one that was going to lean or bring anybody to the eternal life, but it's Jesus. So John had to be humble. Can you imagine having that power? Like, imagine that for a second. Being a forerunner for the gospel. How would you deal with that? How would you deal with that power? Like, really, think about that. You think about CEOs in our companies in this world that we live in, they're so corrupt. But not just CEOs, people that work in many places that aren't even high on the pecking order. The power would just get to people, whether it's money or prestige or any of those things. But John the Baptist paved the way. And I love that he called this idea of repenting, and it was crystal clear. He was preparing the people of Israel. And he knew that God was going to do something big. And he didn't allow the power to get to him. He used it to glorify God. What do we do with the little power that we have? How often we point to ourselves and make it about us? Whether it's our pride or wanting to get our way at our jobs, maybe not treating other people well because we want power and prestige deep down in our hearts, and it comes out in our actions. So as we think about John and, again, his camel fur vest and the locust dipped in honey, and it's a great story of who God uses to further the gospel. And what's interesting about this, have you ever thought about this for a second? And I want you to capture this. Jesus' birth. God could have used any circumstance he wanted, any person to bring the gospel forward, to prepare the way for Jesus. He could have held a huge worship concert with limited instruments, obviously, back in those days. He could have called the kings and the queens of the time, the rulers of the land, to share the message about what was going to be happening. He could have sent legions of angels to every town in the world, but he didn't. He could have used any means he wanted to, but what did he do? He used a guy who probably didn't fit in very well. He didn't look the part, but he used John the Baptist. I love that. I just love that. And I hope, again, that you see that God uses the most unlikely of us to share and to move the gospel forward. And I hope you're open to that. What if God put something on your heart and he asked you to do something that was just out of your own thinking to further his kingdom? And you might stand out because of it, maybe not in a good way. Perhaps a ridicule from family and friends. Would you do it? Would we do it? And John the Baptist did that. And I mentioned this before, he lived in the desert. And he's preparing his heart, and there's a lot going on there. Remember, Jesus spent time in the wilderness as well for 40 days. And he's preparing for his public ministry. And the enemy came to distract the Lord and to tempt him. But the Lord didn't give in. And the angels came to minister to the Lord as preparing. So capture a couple things out of that. So John the Baptist was preparing the way of the Lord, but he lived in the desert. Jesus was in preparation as well. See, there's something about these times we have in the desert, in the wilderness, in our lives, that God can use to prepare our hearts. As John the Baptist was living in the desert, preparing his hearts, living off the sand and the dust and the locusts and the honey, he was in the wilderness. He didn't choose a life of comfort. In his suffering, there was a blessing. And the blessing for him was to move the kingdom forward. And in those moments, I would love to have been there to watch him live his life alone, apart from a people in the desert, to see what it would be like, to be a fly on the wall, what we could learn from him. See, some of us can look at this life, and I think John suffered in the desert. I don't think it was all roses. It wasn't a parade every single day. There's probably a lot of suffering in there. We forget that sometimes. We look at people in the scriptures. We just read the text, and sometimes we forget there was suffering for many of these folks. And for John, as he was in the desert, he had the opportunity to grow more dependent on God. Not anyone else, but more dependent on God. And I hope for us, as we think about that, maybe God has you in a desert. Maybe God has you in the wilderness today. Maybe you're living there today because there's things going on in your life that are causing you to feel lonely, or feeling just emotional numbness, or feeling far from the Lord. And you're crying out in the middle of the night to Jesus. And you're in the desert, and you're wondering when you're going to get out of it. And when we get out of the desert, as we see with John the Baptist, his focus is on Christ. And I promise you this, his focus was on Jesus even in between. The hope he had as he's preparing the way of the Lord. See, the desert's a difficult place, isn't it? It's dry. It's hot. It gets cold at night. There's not much water. There isn't much to eat. And we have to make a decision in those times when we're in the desert. We're either going to choose to live or allow the circumstances to destroy us. So are you in the desert today? And I think God intentionally can put us in those deserts. I think God put John the Baptist in the desert for a reason. And I think he puts us in those situations as well for a reason. And I'm not sure what the reasons always are. And perhaps you don't either. But I want to say this simply to you. Because John the Baptist didn't do this. He did not waste his time in the wilderness. He did not waste this opportunity to be in the desert. He allowed the Holy Spirit, he allowed the Lord to work in his life. And John the Baptist, again, was not the guy who we would have chosen. Yet God chose him. And regardless of the wilderness we're in today, regardless of what we're feeling today, God doesn't require perfect people to further his kingdom. We see that in the Christmas story. We see that with the shepherds, which I'll be talking about next week a little bit. They were outcasts, and yet God used them. See, that's the beauty of the kingdom. That's the beauty of the gospel. He uses broken people like us. He doesn't require perfect people. There's no posting for a job for the kingdom that requires you to be perfect. And that's why I often say that we're summing together towards heaven. And I hope as you consider that today, as you think about John the Baptist, how God used him in such powerful ways for the gospel, that you are encouraged that God can use you as well to further his kingdom, to do amazing things through you in your circle of influence. It doesn't mean you're going to have a YouTube channel with 10 million followers. It doesn't mean you're going to go on TV. It doesn't mean you're going to tour around the world. But in your little circle of influence, God is going to make a difference in your life and a difference for other people in your life as well. Let's be content where God has put us and be happy with what he's given us, to be good stewards of what he's given us, instead of looking to a right or to a left and going, oh, I wish I could do what they're doing. Let's be faithful where God has placed us. And let's see what happens. Can you imagine John the Baptist had the attitude? Desert? I don't want to be in the desert. Come on. Put me by some ocean front. But he didn't. He was in the desert. And I hope that you are encouraged and you're challenged as well. And don't ever allow your humanity to put a limit on God's sovereignty. Because God can do amazing things in and through us. And the story of John the Baptist should remind us that we should be forerunners for the gospel. We should be preparing the ground for the gospel, whether it's through prayer or being a witness or being salt and light in this broken world we live in. We all have a responsibility in this. And we can learn so much from John the Baptist, an ordinary guy who ate locusts and honey, who probably had long hair, didn't look so good, and yet God used him. God used him. I love that about Jesus. Because oftentimes I look at my life, and I don't say this out of false humility, I often reflect on my life and where I came from and where I used to be. And I'm astonished that I get to do what I get to do. The privilege and honor of what I get to do. There are many times I'm like, Lord, you picked the wrong guy. Because I don't have it all together. And I'm okay with that. And so is the Lord. Because in my journey, and I pray this journey for you as well, and John the Baptist showed us this, that we have humility. That we serve with humility. That we don't point to ourselves. That we point to the kingdom and to the gospel. And I think all of us in our lifetime, and I've said this before, that we should always be reflecting on our motives, reflecting on our hearts, reflecting the conversations we have with people. Were they God-honoring? See, John the Baptist, again, and I've said it again and I'll say it again, he is someone I can relate to well. And I hope that your heart of hearts has a desire to be used by God to do amazing things for the kingdom, especially in this time of year when more people are open to the gospel than ever. It's a chance for us to prepare the way and point them to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the prophets. Thank you that we can see in Scripture that John the Baptist was chosen to prepare the way for the Lord. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for the mission. And I know, Lord, when he's in prison that he had asked if Jesus was the one. And John invested so much into the kingdom and he lost his life for it. And I pray, Lord, that we would be open enough, be humble enough to allow you to use us. That we would look at John's life and many other people during this time in Scripture and their lives as well as examples of how to further the gospel. And I pray, Lord, in the furthering of the gospel here on earth, as we are salt and light, as we are your hands and feet, Jesus, I pray for a spirit of humility. I pray for a spirit that points to you. That we don't make it about us. But we would be able to step into wherever you're calling us to do and to be with a heart of anticipation and joy and courage and passion and excitement and a faith. And we look to the Scriptures to learn and grow from. That we not be afraid of man, we not be afraid of any circumstance, Lord, that we would be a little different. That we'd stand out and stand up for the gospel. And I pray, Lord, for the people in our life today that we know that are far from you, Jesus. Give us the words to say. Give us the courage. But let us do it in a way, again, Lord, that draws people closer to you. Thank you that we cannot convert anyone. Thank you that we can be planters of seeds of hope. Of the gospel. And Lord, as we continue to worship you now, I thank you again for each person here, for those watching online. And I pray whatever desert we're in today, that we would not give up hope and we would not waste our time in the desert. In Jesus' name.